Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
What glorious good news it is that we have to share with one another in the world today. We are sharing the promise that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. In Luke chapter 24, we hear about the first day, deep in the dawn, when the women go to the tomb and they bring spices which they have prepared. And when they arrive at the tomb, they find that the stone has already rolled away from the tomb, and they go inside and they do not see the body. They are uncertain. They are confused. They are perplexed by what they see. They expected to see one thing, but they found something very different from what they expected. When they saw, the tomb was empty. Then they saw two men in gleaming, dazzling clothing, and the women are becoming afraid. They're starting to bow their faces to the ground, and the men ask, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but raised." The angels deliver the news of the resurrection, and the way they move the women from being confused and uncertain to now becoming agents of the mission of God is by asking them to remember. Remember the words of Jesus. Remember how he spoke to you when you were with him in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise. The women remembered the words. The confusion clears. There's no more mention of the spices that they've brought to the tomb. The women now leave, and they leave with news. They leave with the news to share with the 11 and to all the rest. And in this event right here, the women help teach us the real business of the church. That business of what the church is to be about is found right here in this day. Because the business of the church finds its launching point in what happens to these women when they bring spices and they leave with news. And so what is the real business of the church? It's a question that is being asked more and more because there's confusion, there's worry, there's perplexion because we see decreasing attendance in sanctuaries around America. I love to see no decreasing attendance today, though. This is a glorious day. But the truth is, around America right now, churches are becoming more and more something that's unique, maybe something that's not normal or something that's customary in our lives. You may drive by, see a historical building or see a storefront or see a building and people will go, "I'm not sure what goes on in there." And people not only are worried about the numbers decreasing, but we're worried about the future our children are facing. And so we as people of God need to be able to ask ourselves, what are we to be about? What is our business? And this question, it's really not a new question. It's a question that every generation must answer. Every generation must go to the tomb. Every generation must go to the tomb and find in there the launching point for what we're supposed to be about. Because when we go to the tomb with our questions, we'll find out that the business of the church is about something more than just maintaining or just securing the ism of the church. I'm worried that many of the questions that people have when they talk about the church and what's going on in the church, they're trying to secure a churchism. And I think that's going to cause naturally some rebellion because we rebel against churchism or parochialism or sectarianism. There is this push against not wanting to feel irrelevant any longer, but the answer too often by the church is not about sharing the good news of Jesus, but is about maintaining, securing, or remembering some days of old. When the women went to the tomb, I want you to think about this and to see this as the contrast as I think about what is the business we're supposed to be about. They brought spices. They brought spices to anoint, to protect, to hide, to diminish, to cover a dead body. It was a part of their devotion. It was a part of their duty, but it was caretaking. They were remembering the glory days of walking with Jesus, seeing his miracles and witnessing the crowds that were following him. But now as they carry their spices, what do they expect? They expect a tomb. They expect death. And after they prepare the spices and anoint the body with the spices, what's after that for them? Kind of going back to the same old despair and hopelessness and longing and anticipation without not much expectation. They're going to remain dutiful. They're going to go about their work, but their work's not going to transform anyone. It's not as if when they brought their spices to that body in the tomb, they expected their spices to transform or to change anything. It might, for a while, give them a sense that they were doing something of obligation. But all they were doing is bringing their resources to anoint this death. They wanted to cover the body. They wanted to cover death. They wanted to place a veil over this death for just even a time so that they knew that they still had something to do. And this is, to be honest, something that still happens in congregations and in families and in our lives. We'll do the routine maintenance of bringing the spices. Well, probably not spices, but we'll do those things that out of obligation, out of duty, out of a sense of tradition, we do. But they don't really, we expect, transform anything or change anything. It might cover or hide, but it's not going to change what's in there in the tomb. I think of how so many people watched Notre Dame and with anticipation would worry that, you know, is this the end? The falling apart edifices of the great cathedrals in Europe are not just happening with Notre Dame. In France, just last year, there were over 1,000 vandalisms, attacks of some sort to the churches in France. And that was a 17% increase from the year before. Just to consider, 1,000 last year was only a 17% increase from the year before. The buildings of Europe that have become these great houses of worship are for a large part just being maintained. And even then, not so well. It's a foreshadowing of what may happen soon in America as well. And it comes to this, what are you looking for when you come to a church? Are you looking to just bring your spices and maintain and kind of do a dutiful, obligated thing, but do you expect it to change anything? Do you expect when you come here to still see a tomb? Only for so long do I want to visit that. Good music is here. Connections to family is here. A good coffee hour. We've got even better coffee than we used to have. All of these are here. But if you come here and all you're bringing is spices to anoint, and what I mean by that is if all you're bringing is obligation, if all you're bringing is duty, and that sense of continuing a tradition, but not expecting it to do anything more than being a caretaking of something that's really probably already dead and soon will be gone, then we haven't figured out what the business of the church is about. The simplest and most important answer to what the real business of the church is about is when the women come to the tomb and they see that it is empty, they're confused and perplexed, and those two angels say, "Remember the words of Jesus." Jesus had said that the Son of Man is going to be handed over into the hands of evil men. He's going to die, and on the third day, he's going to rise. And then he continues sharing his words to his apostles in his resurrection. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus has now been risen from the dead for 40 days. He's gathered his disciples to a place, and he says to them, "Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go and you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to do it in Jerusalem. You're going to do it in Judea, Samaria, and you're going to do it even to the very ends of the earth." St. Paul, when he writes to the people of Corinth, is writing to a people who've become distracted. They've become divided over growing dissension about the morality that's in their midst, about what the Lord's Supper is, about what even the mission of the church is supposed to be. And he writes these words to them. He says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The good news that we share at Our Shepherd is not about just caretaking, not just about maintaining or fulfilling an obligation. The good news that you share in your homes as parents with your children, as grandparents with your grandkids as they come over, this good news you share is not about just spices to hide death. What you are sharing is a good news that changes and transforms us from death to life, from being confused and perplexed to now sent on a mission. This good news, this is simply this, that God has loved you. Even while you were yet still sinners, He has come into this world to be your Savior. Dying upon the cross, He took the punishment that your sins deserve. He has broken the chains of death that hold and contain you into fear and despair, that force you into shame. And He has broken those chains, and He has risen again on the third day to give you the confidence that God has rescued you from sin, from death and the devil. These evil forces at work in this world that would convince you that your only duty is just to hide and maintain and pretend, all those forces are broken. Because now you are more than conquerors through Christ who has loved you. This good news, it's hard to find in this world. Not only do we have people outside the church who have not heard this good news, but many in the churches in this world have not heard it. Because for far too long, people have only seen in the church attempts to maintain, to caretake, to prop up a dying institution so that it could be like what it used to be. People who have not heard the good news, unfortunately, are still living under bad news. The bad news of our shortcomings, the bad news of our failures, the bad news of our disappointments, the bad news that you can't do anything but hide and masquerade death. It will eventually get you. There is some bad news that people worry about, but this first one I tell you, I don't actually think it's that bad. One thing that people talk about as a bad news for our generation today that fills with anxiety is the fear of missing out. There's something going on, and I'm not a part of it. This is true. Even this morning, as the acolytes and the communion assistants were gathering together over here, and they were giving instructions on how we were going to do continuous communion, I was thinking, am I supposed to be in that group right there? I don't know what they're talking about. The fear of missing out is a true worry. But I'll tell you, if you miss out on some conversation like that, or if you miss out on something of a line, I remember being in Washington, D.C., and I saw a whole bunch of people lined up, and I thought it was the line to get into the museum. And I was worried that we were going to miss out on the entrance into the museum. And so I had us wait in the line for about 10, 15 minutes. It turned out it was not a line at all. It was just people that were standing along the curb. I still don't know why they were there. Here's actually the worry I have about the fear of missing out. I think the fear of missing out is more dangerous, not because it fills us with anxiety, is because it will cause us to shift from our true foundations where we stand on Christ and Christ alone, to it will cause us to shift to sands of time as we try to chase the crowd and figure out what keeps us together. That's dangerous, but I'll tell you what I think is even more dangerous. It's the fear of not measuring up. The measurements, the demands, the expectations that we cannot meet, it will drive us. It will drive us to attempts to hide, to masquerade, to cover even with spice, with spices, the stench of our own fear. We, unfortunately, though, we can't pretend for so long. We can lie to people. We can deceive people for a time. But if you have ever tried to keep up a lie, you will find it eventually brings even more division than you could have imagined. But even worse than the divisions and the separations your lies and your pretends will bring as you try to caretake an artificial edifice of your goodness, even more than separating you from others as they see your hypocritical character, it will bring division between you and God, because He knows the truth of each of us. He knows that we fall short, that we do not measure up, and that we cannot hide this truth. There are not enough kindnesses or rules you can follow that could ever change that truth of not measuring up. And so if the measurements, the demands, the expectations to be perfect is bad news, if the fear of missing out is causing you to shift from the solid foundation of Christ to the shifting sands of time with the crowd, then you're in the right place. Because we have good news that changes that and transforms that. We're not going to just share in here more spices that will hide this bad news. The good news that we have, the real business of the church, the real business is not. It's not just bringing more pretend and more masquerade. The ingredients that shapes the mission of this church, that which defines our mandate, our charge into this world, the real business of the church is when the women bring their spices and they look into the tomb and they see that it is empty and they're confused, and those two angels give to them that encouragement to remember the words of Jesus. They found the stone and rolled away. They did not find the body of Jesus, but they were filled with mission when they remembered His words. And then the angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He's risen." That's what moves us from day to day, from week to week. That's what will move us from month to month, to year. That's what I would stand on more than anything else. And that when we search for the answers of what defines this day or what wants are immediately needed, I'll tell you, there's some deep knowledge here that drives each day with the momentum, a drive that pushes me forward more than anything else. And that is that in this news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, I find in my Savior His victory over all my shames and disappointments. I find that everything that I tried to measure up to now is rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing His love. So what's the only way to go from hiding our sins to living in confidence that they're forgiven? What's the only way to move from being a caretaker of death to becoming someone that shares life? The only way is to know the tomb is empty. Death has no more say in your identity. Sin, it has no more chains that bind you anymore. Believe in Christ. Believe in Him as the one who has taken upon Himself your own sin, your own death, the virtue that the resurrection has given to you and to me and to all people who believe in Christ, the virtue, the value, the identity that is promised here is that you are victorious. No matter what this world will show you as defeat, no matter what persecution may come, no matter what sorrows or sufferings or agonies may come in this world, in the resurrection you have this promise that Christ is victorious. That's why we're called Christians, because we look to Christ. Dear Lord, you've taken my sins away. You've defeated my enemy. In you I find my sins consumed. In you I find my death consumed. This is the business of the church. We're not about just bringing spices to death. We're about bringing the good news of life to the world. And if at any point you're like, what does he mean about bringing spices? I want you to just consider this. If your life is about hiding and protecting and pretending, then you're bringing spices to death. If your life is about living recklessly with sharing the love of Christ, with the confidence that your identity in this world is no longer found in your good deeds, but is entirely found in what the goodness that Christ has done for you, then you're bringing the news of the empty tomb. If in each day you are driven forward, not about trying to make other people see your good, but about pointing people to Christ, then you are bringing the victory of the empty tomb. Because I want you to notice in this story, there is no more mention of the spices after they hear the good news that he has risen just as he said. The only thing they have with them when they go back to the 11 and tell the rest is the good news that Jesus Christ is risen. The spices, we don't even know what happened to them anymore. Our pretend and our masquerade, I don't even know what happens to it when I know I'm in Christ. The business of the church today and for eternity is to proclaim Jesus. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.